basically, I know where the meat of the message will come from, but the dorkier side of me wants to go back to verse 2, but we're going to ultimately try to get to verse 18. If you've been here at all in the last 6-7 years, you'll know that might be impossible. Some of y'all don't know, so good luck. I was sitting there listening to the music, and the one thing clicked on the screen that said the root of David. Did y'all see that? Root of David. When I was sitting there, just like almost simultaneously, the Lord just started dropping like dominoes people's faces. If you read the Bible, when you read the Bible, you'll read through, and there are significant people all the way through the Scripture who are in the lineage of Jesus, and you'll see them in the Bible. And some of the stories are amazing, and some are tragic. Amen? And you realize it takes all of that to bring forth Jesus, the root of David. Isn't that amazing? Well, just let me give you the one that kind of popped in my mind just like when I was sitting there looking at it, was Seth. Amen? Cain slew Abel. The lineage of Christ came through Seth. That was probably the hardest birth, right, for Adam and Eve, and also yet the hardest to move on to, yet that's where Christ comes, life past death. Does that make sense to you? I mean, y'all got, man, when you see stuff like that, let the Bible just come alive to you, because that's amazing to me that you know, you're sitting there, and we talk about the Scriptures, when you see Adam and Eve, and you show, when you take of this fruit, you should surely die, and they were thinking, okay, we did this, this is going to happen to us, but that's not how it happened. It affected their children more than it affected them. That's how sin works anyway, but yet, the worst possible thing could happen to a parent is one son killed another son. So the last thing, I know the men, we probably can't do this, but the women in here should be able to kind of lean forward in this thought to say it would be hard to have another child if you lose a child. Like that. And can anybody just lean into that a little bit? The men are consoling. God, I wish I couldn't preach like the way I. my. Men were a little different. You're getting some bonus preaching right here. We're wired a little different. Our consoling ministry is a little different. I'm going to leave it there. Some of y'all can draw a line. The rest of you after, we'll have a 5-minute class afterwards. Honey, let's get over this. Let's move on. Never mind. Yes, finally, about 10 guys on this side went, oh, yeah, we are different. All right? But a woman loves her children deeper, more defense. Forever, can't get all, emotions are tied deep and wound tight, to lose one, we are not going to that threshold again. Amen? But Christ says, if you can't, God says, if you can't, then we can't get to Jesus. Whew, never mind, golly, I'm a nerd, I'm sorry, sometimes I just see stuff and I've got to say it, amen? Aren't you glad for the Seth? Amen? Aren't you glad when everything died that was good, there was a hope past that? Amen? God, never mind. Let's get in Acts 26. What we came to preach. I think myself happy. He's talking to King Agrippa. Y'all heard that this morning. Because I shall answer for myself this day before the touching all things whereof I am accused of a Jew. Are y'all seeing that? Acts 26, verse 2. Verse 3, especially because I know thee to have been an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, now all the Jews. No, all the Jews. Verse 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religious of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto the promise of the 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So let me stop right here. I know I just read you a lot of information, but I did it on purpose. Paul was taught at a young age the Pharisaical, the straight Jewish law. And he was of the straightest sect, and he says, of the Pharisees. And the one thing that the Pharisees taught Paul that was the catalyst in him getting saved is there is a resurrection from the dead. Amen? And I'm going to teach you something here tonight that has absolutely, really not a lot to do with that. But be careful that you don't share the gospel, share who Jesus is, bring somebody to church, take somebody to a revival meeting, get somebody around the Holy Spirit of God, and you not be saved, and you know everything about God, and you take somebody else with you, they ride with you, hear that same information, have kind of heard it before, and then all of a sudden piece it together and go, I believe in the thing that you brought me to. Are y'all all right? You know what? That's what happened to Paul. They were teaching him all the laws and all the rules and all the things not to do. But guess what they also put in there? They put in there a biblical truth. Be looking for the resurrection. And if the resurrection ever appears to you, that there is the Messiah. They made a mistake. Because guess what? Some people, you might want to write this down, some people can't fake it. Some people can't be a hypocrite. Some people, they ain't going to church. They don't want to be around church because they want to live the life they want to live, and they can't stand to live both ways. There are some people who can come and do both. And some of those people, every once in a while, I don't know how God does it. I can tell you this, He's got great ways of leverage to getting some people in the house of God who never intended to go. God, I wish I had a couple people in here. I had a good old friend. His name was Teddy Walters. You know how he got to church? He used to sit on the bridge, he said, and make fun of people and curse and drink and do everything else. But one day, as a couple girls walked by, right, in Kentucky. There's probably only a couple of girls in Kentucky. Oh, man, I shouldn't have threw that last part in, but praise God. Anyway, and they walked by, and he got to talking to them, and they said, if you want to talk to me, you're going to have to come to church. He said, I didn't have no desire or want to go to church, but I went to church. Amen? And he said, now I went to church, and guess what? I didn't get a girlfriend. I got saved. Amen? Be careful that you don't bring somebody to the house of God and you be living one way and all of a sudden they come in and get the real deal on you. Amen? Be trying to kill and crucify Jesus, trying to destroy the church, yet all of a sudden the person you thought was worse than you are all of a sudden goes, that's good. Amen? I want that. I've got hell at home. This is the first peace. This is the first joy. This is the first love that I have experienced. I am not going back. It happens. It happened a lot more in the 80s and 90s than I've heard about recently, but I used to hear all the time people would go to tent revivals, and people would almost try to hold on to their loved ones and kids. Don't go up to that altar. Don't go up there because they got them in the wrong place at the wrong time. And God said, no, it's bigger than you. Amen? Are y'all good? Hey, it's Sunday night. You better buckle up. We're in church. Amen? I'm glad y'all made it, but hey, I ain't going to slack up on you because it's Sunday night. Well, I love this right here. So look at verse 9. For I verily thought, is that right? Yeah, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. What he's sitting there, he's setting the tone. He said, I used to hate Jesus. Amen? I hated Jesus because the people above me and what I believed, we believed that Jesus was not the Messiah. Amen? And that's okay. Write this down. It's okay for somebody not to believe the way you believe. Whew. Let me sit there and think about that for a second. I'd almost rather somebody be totally against what I believe than say they believe what I believe and they don't. Amen? God says it this way in His Word. He would rather you be cold as ice or hot on fire than to be lukewarm. He hates somebody who's standing in the middle of the road pretending like you're this and pretending you're like that. Matter of fact, he said, you might as well go one way hard or the other way hard. Amen? I'm being honest with you. I tell people all the time, I'm not your kind of preacher. I'm not everybody's kind of preacher. Sometimes I got to say stuff like this. If you're going to live for the world, go all the way out there. But you can't be happy in the middle road. You can't be happy in the house of God and then out in the world too. You're going to have to make a decision. Amen? But what he said, he goes, he told him, he goes, I hadn't make no buts about it. I was out to hurt Jesus and everybody who believed in Jesus. Verse 10, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He was out there putting people to death who believed in Jesus. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them in the strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priest, God, this is my favorite stuff. Golly, he had some authority. Somebody gave him some paperwork. You ain't cool unless you got paperwork. They wrote him a letter saying, you can go down and, hey, run everybody out of Jerusalem, run everybody out of the synagogue, run everybody out of there. And you know what? They said, we want you to go down to Damascus and we want you to get them. They're going to do some upstart stuff down there and we want you to go down there and we want you to snuff that out too. Here, and they wrote it all and they signed it all and they rolled it up in a scroll and they sealed it and they handed it to him. And he's on the road to Damascus with these little papers in his hand. Can you see him? Man, I just see him. He is stepping, boom, 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 one step after another. Come on, boys. We're going to run us. We're going to go down here to this town. Ain't that crazy? We don't know anything about this anymore, but this is the heart of the church. The church was persecuted. They were killed. They were destroyed. They were on the run, and they were growing. Huh. Ain't that funny? Here we are in the church. We're afraid to go through anything because we don't want to hurt the world. We don't want to, but praise God, the church is being persecuted. And everywhere they're persecuted, they can't help but themselves but tell about Jesus. They got a madman who's chasing them down in Damascus. I mean, they got a madman who's going to kill them. And guess what they're doing? They're like, we need to keep shut. We don't need to open up another synagogue and talk about Jesus. We don't need to open up another church. I mean, but there's a lot of people down here who don't know about Jesus. We might as well go ahead and just start saying it. Come on, y'all right? And you think that didn't happen, but it happened because it got back to Jerusalem that the people that you ran out of here went down to Damascus and started another church. You didn't hurt them. They just started getting bigger. You reload, man. I didn't want to preach this part. I should have got all the way down to verse 18. Y'all have been out of here by now. Aren't you glad we didn't? And I punished them often in every synagogue. Verse 12, whereupon, as I went to the road to Damascus with the authority and the commission from the chief priest, verse 13, and at midday, not at night, in the middle of the day, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them with me, which journeyed, and them guys with me, they journeyed with me, they seen it too, all right? I'll just paraphrase that out there. But we minimize this so small. God's brighter than the sun at noon. Paul runs into him, he's got his little paperwork. Have you ever thought you were on one mission, but God was on another? thought you was about one thing. Some of y'all, you've got, man, this world has gave you a title. This is who you are. This is who you want to be. Da, da, da. Man, I had some plans in my life of who I thought I ought to be. And I'll guarantee you the last, not a preacher. No way. That'll cramp your style. That's an old saying back in the 1970s. Cramp your style means it's not cool. I don't even know what the word for it's not cool right now is. And nobody's going to help me. All right. Lame? I know that one. I'm not that old. All right, good. I'll take that. Thank you, Shantae. I'll take that. The last thing that Paul was ever going to be doing was glorifying Jesus, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he was out to kill those people, and he ran into somebody that was bigger than him and brighter than the sun. That's what he's telling this king. He said, listen, there ain't a small thing happened to me. You know, everybody, if they were to testify of me, if everybody got up in this room, they would tell you I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. They would have told you there is no way this man's ever going to come off course except for what happened to him. Something had to happen. Some of you need to write this stuff down. Some of you need to do a meditation time out of Acts 26 or wherever Paul tells his testimony. You better start figuring out what happened to that man. What would change a man who hated Jesus so much and wanted to kill everybody out associated with Jesus, all of a sudden changed on one thing that he met with Jesus, and the rest of his life was devoted to writing, talking, and testifying about Jesus Christ under the day that he was hung to death. And guess what? He ran to that like he was running to a finish line. Something happened to that man. Some of y'all need to check up and say, wait a minute, if it happened to him, did it happen to me? It happened to me. Amen. August 28 of 04, I ran into that same Jesus. And all my plans, I think of the Bible like a movie. I see Paul stand on that, we'll get to that in a minute. I see Paul stand on that, and all of a sudden, his life's changing, and them papers that he had in his hand are just tumbling down the road. Somebody else probably, some archaeologist probably a million years later, dug up some, what's this old little paper with a little thing on it? And you can't even make out the writing. That's where Paul was headed before he met Jesus. Aren't you glad? I don't know how many believers. Aren't you glad that God met you right there? And all the plans that this world had for you just drifted away. Thank God for that. Somebody said, man, I used to have aspirations and dreams. I want to be this. I want to do that. I thought of myself as a pretty good athlete at one time in my life. I thought, success is this and success is that. I'll tell you what success is, meeting Jesus Christ. Somebody said, what would you do if you could change everything and have a whole life? What would you do different? If it don't include August 28 of 04 in Chatsworth, Georgia, getting saved, I don't want no part of that life. Nothing even comes close to that. What if you became famous? What if you did this? What if you did that? It would pale. It would pale into coming to understanding who Jesus is. It would be a failure of a life if I didn't know Jesus. Paul would say the same thing. What's this right here? Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You might underline that question right there too. Jesus takes it personal. If you're hurting the church, you're hurting Christians, you're mad at them, you ain't hurt one Christian. You ain't done, if there's a Christian, a believer, you ain't done nothing to them that God didn't have planned already. But God didn't take it. He was doing it to them. He did it to me. Amen? Well, you don't know. Oh, man, I could preach for about 16 days right here. But you don't know, brother so-and-so. He's a real, you don't know, sister so-and-so. Yeah, but God does. Amen? And before you start wearing them out, you better take an account that God's taking it personal. Amen? That'll change it. Hey, think about it. Watch this right here. Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes, it is. The goads, that's what those are. When an ox wouldn't go the right way, they had these things that were called goads. In the King James, it's pricks. What it is there's these spikes. They sit up right on the rear end of the ox. Amen? And when the driver of the oxen would want to go this way or that way or do something, and they wouldn't do it, what they would do is they would sick those goads or those pricks way down close to their rear end, because they would pull real hard and them oxen would kick real hard. But when they put them real sharp goads right down there next to their tail end, all of a sudden they'd kick back and they'd go, ooh, we better make a turn right here. Right? We better do what the boss man says right here. Right? That's God. Amen? And if you don't know this already, let me tell you, it is very, very, very hard to kick against God when He's trying to get a hold of your life. Man, I have found that to be true. Before I got saved, right before I got saved, and absolutely now. I try. And He don't mind to set them pretty low, if I'll just tell you that right now. Amen? Y'all get that later, halfway home. And I said, in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Ain't that good? Ain't that sweet? Paul's out there trying to kill Christ. He produces a sweet, who are you, Lord? He went ahead and promoted God all the way up to where He needed to be. You're powerful. I can see that you're powerful, and I can feel it. Who are you, Lord? Some of y'all need to ask that. Who are you, Lord? And He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Once again, Jesus takes it personal. Amen? Remember that. Remember when you're dealing with Christians, how God takes it personal, especially young ones. You better hear what I just said right there. Young ones, young believers, be careful how you deal with them. Amen? Jesus, he takes it personal. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things the which I will appear unto thee. What did he just do? Did you see what he just did right there? He took Paul, who was against him. He took Paul, who would never do anything for Jesus because he was against him, anybody was for him. But guess what he did right here? He did something. He said, I'm Jesus. You know, what did Paul know about Jesus up to this point? Does anybody know? Obvious. Death, burial. That's what he knew. You all right? Paul knew that they had put Jesus in the ground, right? He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah who rose 3 days later. That part of the gospel, he did not believe. Amen? And that was what was keeping him from being saved. But on the road to Damascus, golly, I hope y'all get this. Jesus said, it's me. And what that did was activated all the information that Paul had in his mind and heart already. And he believed in who Jesus was. Because you know what he said? He went, I've been looking for the resurrection. And these people in the law, in all of Moses said, if we ever come upon a resurrected person, that is the Messiah. Golly, he couldn't help it. When he was confronted by Jesus, he goes, wait a minute. If you're the same Jesus that they put on that cross and put in the ground, but yet you are alive, you have to be. Amen? So then, golly, I wish I'd get this. Then Paul, all of a sudden, like an encyclopedia in his brain, he goes back through all the Old Testament, all the laws, all the things that Moses preached. And he said, everything that's in this scripture is pointing at a man named Jesus. Amen? Everything I've studied, everything I've heard, everything I've read, the blinders have came off. I am totally blind now, but I see through the scriptures that God is Jesus. Amen? There ain't nothing more awesome when somebody comes to understand who Jesus is by faith and everything they believe connects together. You can't stop somebody like that. Amen? That is, golly, I hope they have HDTV when we get to heaven and we can go back and watch some of these things right here. But I believe this is going to be awesome. Amen? Let's go. I'm trying to get to verse 18. I get excited about the Word of God. I hope you do too. Watch this right here. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Let me pump this brakes real quick. Say that 17 again. Here's what I love what Paul gets right here too. He just gave him a big task. He said, I'm going to let you be a preacher unto the Jews and the Gentiles, especially to the Gentiles, right? But he gives him a reinforcement promise right here that comes along behind it, right, in verse 17. delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. You know what he just said? I got your protection. I know I just gave you something that's going to scare you to death, because you're going to run into people that are just like you. They'll want to kill you because you love me, and you'll want to tell people about me, and they'll want to put you to death. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to protect you from all the people and the Gentiles. Whew, golly, but ain't that's kind of cool. Amen? Sometimes when I get a benefit, I don't really know that I have a benefit until I kind of put it in action. Amen? But praise God, God threw the benefit up on the front end. He might not knew it. There's probably some times where Paul's like, man, this is going to be a sketchy situation. But then he always remembers, oh, yeah, when God called me, I also said he's got my protection. Can I tell y'all something? Can I give y'all, hey, Donnie, can I give you something big right here? As long as you're doing God's will, you fall under God's protection. What? Anybody else need that in 2022? As long as you are following God's will, you fall under God's protection. And you won't die 1 second earlier than you're supposed to, period. Now, if you're going to live any way you want to, nah, that's off. But what he was saying, as long as you're testifying to me, witnessing to me, and you stay on my target path, guess what? I've got you. Amen? Man, that makes me want to do this right here. God, here I am. I'm reporting for duty. I want to be on your path. God, I'll do exactly what you want me to do, and I want to be under your protection. Amen? Ain't that nice? He said, as long as you do what I'm telling you to do, you're under the protection. Now, some of y'all can go, well, what if it, well, didn't he die? Guess what? At the very place, God said, I'm going to take you to Rome. I'll guarantee there was about 25, 30 places before he got to Rome that he should have died. But he didn't die until it was finished. And I told you already, Paul didn't walk up to the gallows and go, oh man, I don't know what to, God, where are you? I mean, this is exactly how they say it happened. He came up the steps and almost run and leaned into it like he was coming across the finish line and was like, let's get this done. Amen. Because I'm going to see somebody. It's better for me to be in heaven than it is for here. It's finally the finish line time. When you get ready, man, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right here. When it's time for you as a believer in Jesus Christ to pass away, God will give you that grace and you will have strength that you didn't even know you had to cross that finish line, and people will be saying, man, she was something else at the end of her life. He was something else at the end of his life. Because guess what? That's God's grace. And until you get that, you'll get the grace to live. Praise God, I got the grace to live some more. Amen? Whew. Get to verse 18, Kevin. Let's finish this thing. This always blew me away. I never preached this, never even looked at it. These are the purposes that God sends preachers. This is the purpose for God to send preachers. The first preacher, this one in here, Paul, when he sent Paul, this was his purpose. But look at some of the purpose and see yourself. And see how God sees lost people and what he wants to do. If you see yourself, you might have a shouting fit tonight. If you don't, I don't know. Watch this right here. There's some things in here that you need to see. To open, listen to this, these are the things that God wants to do through the preacher, through your life, through you sitting here, if you're saved. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Whew. Anybody had that happen? Anybody have that happen? He wants to take you out of darkness into light. Amen? Man, I remember that. Ain't that amazing? Man, remember when you thought like the world, you seen like the world, you was in the dark like the world, and all of a sudden God came in and turned the light on, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, whoa, that's all wrong, and that's all right. I hate that and love that. I used to love that and I used to hate that. Wow. I mean, man, I'm telling you, there are things when you get saved, man, the biggest one for me was like, how in the world can you have fun and be saved? I'm serious. I'm like, man, that's the most miserable life there is. I have never had more fun in my life other than when I got saved. I have the time of my life. Now, I've got some stick-in-the-mud people that are super spiritual. Every once in a while, I'll say, preacher, you don't need to do that. And I don't pay none attention to them. I have some of the best times I've ever had. I laugh harder. I have more experience. And the great thing about it is, 99, I don't have to feel sorry about it. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to lie about it. I don't have to hide it. And I remember it. Praise God. And all my friends remain. Right? All my friends remain. Because guess what? I love them like I love myself. Used to, I love myself. Man, ain't that a beautiful thing to take them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan unto God. Good Lord. Is there anybody in here that Satan had power over you in certain areas of your life that you thought would never change? And when God comes in, it's almost like a lock and key. Some of them didn't happen overnight. Some of them still ain't completely done. But there are some things that happened to me when I got saved that I thought, man, this will never change. God said, like that, right there, just changed it. I thought, man, God must have had a special key or something to my voice box. Amen? There used to be words that emanated out of here that were awful. I said, man, God, you can't fix that. That's going to get me in some trouble. But, wow. I had fun at a football game, talking about sports, talking about so-and-so, and I didn't cuss anybody out. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. That's a big deal back 10 years ago. That was a huge deal. Here's an even better one. I got mad. I got mad and got hurt and didn't beat nobody up and didn't cuss nobody out. I'm saved. I'm saved. That's one of the biggest barometers in my life that I knew I got saved because I'm sitting there going, the words won't come out, the actions won't happen. Man, what's next? Hey, man. There are things that God can change that you say, there ain't no way. God is a stronghold tear down. He can tear down strongholds and break things that have been cursing your not only you, but your family from generation to generation, and He can break it just like that. And He can make the person that you thought, man, they'll never change, stand right next to you and sing hallelujah, praise God in the same tone, same place, and then run circles around you. I used to think this all the time. Well, listen what God will do. God will set some people on fire to blister past you when you get cold and indifferent on God. And you know what you're going to do? You'll either get your track shoes on and catch up with them, or you'll sit there and make fun of them or criticize them and say, well, they'll calm down sometime and they'll just settle down like me. Gosh, I hope not. My whole life, I'm thinking, man, God, don't bring some fireball in here and get so past me. Man, I don't want to let that, because I'd hate to act a fool in front of everybody, because if somebody starts doing some laps in here, I'm not going to let them run alone. and they may receive forgiveness of sins. Whoa. Is there anybody in your life that needs forgiveness of sin? Do you know that you're sitting here right now with all your sins forgiven? All of your sins forgiven. All of your sins gone. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Man. Whew. Guys, I hate to tell you this. I still sin. All of them forgiven. As if I've never sinned. God saved me, forgave me, as if I've never sinned. You're sitting here sinless. All that other stuff sitting in the darkness, coming out of that power of Satan off of man, you can stand before God one day, Him walk you into heaven, because guess what? You're forgiven. All your sins are gone. Not because of what you've done, but what He did. You'll spend eternity. You'll be there for 10,000 years. We've sung it a million times. We'll be there as 10,000 years as if it just begun. And not one person will be able to ever stand up and say, this is what I did. We'll all say, He simply forgave me of my sins. That one place where I met Him, repented. Man, that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to save people all the time. Sometimes I come to church or I'll be in ministry or I'll go somewhere to speak or I'll do something. I think, man, God just wouldn't do it. Man, God always trying to save somebody. And sometimes he ain't saving, he's planting and watering. Be careful, though, because you'll be sitting by next somebody. You'll be thinking, man, that's a tough nut to crack right there. No, they're not. No, they're not. God's waiting for that special time for the Holy Spirit to come down and really penetrate the heart. See, the Holy Spirit, that's the last thing for everybody, is the Holy Spirit has to be present to see somebody be saved. Amen? It ain't the preacher. It ain't the person. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And when somebody, they have to do business with God. Amen? The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What that is when the Holy Spirit comes to save you, that you reject that and say, no, I don't want to be saved. Amen? That's it. When you reject the Holy Spirit. And everybody in here that's saved should know this. There was a time when you were like, this ain't mama, this ain't daddy, this ain't the preacher. This is God drawing on my soul. And if you don't know that tonight, you better know it before you leave here. God pulls you in like a tractor beam. Man, when I got saved, I didn't want to get saved that day. I got saved at my house during a yard sale. I was walking through my house with the blood of a 2-year-old boy on my hands because he got ran over by his grandmother. The last thing I thought I was going to be doing that day was getting saved. I had ran so far from God. This little boy got ran over. I done CPR on him. I washed my hands in the sink. And as I was washing my hands in the sink, God said, you've got more blood on your hands than that. You know of me, but you do not know me. Your wife doesn't know me and your kids don't know me. And if you died today, you would go to hell and you would take them with you. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a message. It wasn't get right or this. It was God himself saying, today is the day. I walked out into the living room. I looked at my son sitting on a couch. I looked at him, and I looked at my family outside in the yard. I walked back across into that bedroom. I shut the door, and God said, I gave them to you. I will take them away from you. He knew exactly where to strike. He knew exactly where to hit me. He hit me in the place. He gave me all these people that love me, and I never knew anything like that before, and I love my kids more than I love myself, and I fell on that floor, and I repented to God. Poured out my soul before him. I said, God, if you want me, this is who you're getting. And that day I got saved and born again, and all my sins were washed away. Let me ask you, friend, are all your sins washed away? Because that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to wash all your sins away. He don't want you to join a church. He don't want you to be a part of a ministry. He don't want you to read the Bible. He don't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to do any of that before you get saved. He wants to save your soul. And then he wants to work through your life. And if you ever let him save your soul, the whole world can fall around you and you will never fall away from God. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to reserve a place in heaven for you through me. Through me. Let's all stand. I'm going to do something that I rarely don't do.